And it's interesting because I didn't actually realize that until I'm talking to you right at this moment, right? That we don't always pay attention to all of the signs. We don't always pay attention to...
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the Franklin, Mass area, FM radio dial 102.9 here in our glorious studio today to talk about art and the power of art with our local artist, Amy Adams, also the painting Venus. Amy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. Glorious indeed. I'm excited to meet up today and talk about this new adventure we have coming on.
Yeah, we kind of teased it the last time we talked.
We did.
And it's happening.
It is happening. It's finally happening. Just really excited to see it come into fruition after so many months of preparation and just... aligning schedules and reaching the public and doing the workshops and just very happy to see the end result. It's usually my most exciting time of painting any painting or creating any project is kind of seeing the end so that I you know, so it unfolds. So.
Well, and that's one of the things, and we can dwell on that a little bit, but, you know, they see the end product, but yeah. They don't necessarily see all the work that leads to that.
Right. I try. I do process
and you do.
Videos.
You
I,
do.
I try.
Yep. Snippets,
you know.
Here and there. This is this.
Realizing that most of us have attention span of a goldfish. And so I make the snippets really short and sweet and just really kind of try to capture curiosity about,
right.
You know, what it might be about. And let me... find out more about it. Let me just look a little bit.
What's Amy doing today? What is she painting today? What is she crafting today? Oh,
right.
My, look at it!
Right. So that's it. Just really happy to see this come through.
And knowing we were going to talk about this topic, coincidentally, and life happens, of course, but there was a quote from Andrea Gibson, who folks may be aware, just unfortunately passed last week, a week to the day we're recording. And this quote, the first line, just speaks to what you're attempting to do. I'll read the full quote, then we'll come back to the line, then we'll continue. So, quote, I have never met a heavy heart that wasn't a phone booth with a red cape inside. Some people will never understand the kind of superpower it takes for some people to just walk outside. Some days I know my smile looks like the gutter of a falling house, but my hands are always holding tight to the ripcord of believing. So Andrea Gibson certainly is a well-written, well-spoken artist. For them to have said, I have never met a heavy heart that wasn't a phone booth for a red cape inside, it made me think of the wind phone right away. It was like,
yeah.
They're on the same page.
Yes. Yeah. It's such a powerful quote. You know, really just thinking about that just draws in the idea and the connection to someone else who is also describing... you know, just the power that it takes, the battles that a lot of us fight that the rest of us don't know we're fighting, those silent, those quiet fights.
It's invisible in many ways, right? And until we create kind of that safe space, whether it's in a studio or somewhere,
right,
where that can be shared, it's not known.
It's so natural, right? Having those quiet battles and fights. But that quote also speaks to the strength that it takes, right? That holding on to the ripcord, the just even the visual description of a ripped cord. You know, it's broken but still functional. There's strength holding
it
together.
Well, I think technically the rip cord is to the parachute.
Oh, even
right?
More powerful, right? The significance of being able to shoot back up and
to have the hope that the parachute is just going to kind of glide you down
Amazing.
To a safe landing.
So the rip cord that pops open, and immediately I visualize an actual ripped cord.
And that's fair.
And so
for
me,
what the English says.
No, it is. But the visual artist in me is thinking of a ripped cord and how functional it can still be.
Because you still put the pieces together.
And the strength it takes just to do that.
Right.
Wow, so multiple meetings, I thought.
The path for art
can dissect.
Can take us in many ways.
Yes.
But functionally, what this intro brings us to is the concept of the wind phone.
Right.
Right? Which is a way of dealing with grief, if I remember, which is what they were talking about to a certain extent, too.
Right. That incredible spider web of ideas and things that kind of link together to join into this one thing and one purpose. And the wind phone is that. I decided to add an artistic element to that and create murals that encase this garden arbor. Wind phones exist all throughout the world. I originally mentioned that it was a Japanese man who had created the wind phone.
Right.
In remembrance of his cousin, kind of to honor that connection that they had and still be able to talk to him after his passing because he missed him. And
mm-hmm.
then this great big tsunami happened and thousands of people came to visit this wind phone. And it has become international since. Here in the United States, there are quite a few. When we last talked, I thought there were three. A few have popped up since then.
Oh, that's good.
So now the wind phone I just created is number 7, which is excellent.
It's a good number.
Yes. It's
still
perfectly
small.
No, it's you don't even understand. See, like the number 7 is perfectly divine and relates to me in so many ways,
mm-hmm.
as the number 4 would have, because it was
sure.
my favorite number.
Yep.
So I'm really big on symbolism and numbers, and mm-hmm. I think 7 is absolutely divine and perfect. And so I feel like it's a just another wonderful way to connect all of these elements to this wind phone. It can be as simple as a telephone, you know, screwed into a tree that you might find on a trail and you don't know what it's about, but
mm-hmm.
you know, you might read a little note that tells you what it is. Or it can be something as big or as different as what I've chosen to create.
As kind of the garden arbor type setting, et cetera.
Yeah, so I want it to be sort of semi-private, but it's in the middle of town. It's wonderful because it's right off of their gazebo area outside of a spiritual center. So if you go into this space and you feel like you need extra supports, you can absolutely walk into that spiritual center. It is welcoming of all faiths. But if you choose not to do that, because that's just not your thing,
right.
or you come at an off time of day and no one's there, there are a list of contacts inside of the wind phone. I've provided 24-hour hotlines for all sorts of grief
mm-hmm.
support, all types of support services that are in the town. And in nearby towns, right? Because we talked about grief being universal and
sure.
it can affect all ages. There's a wonderful place in Framingham called Jeff's Place, which caters to children who are experiencing grief.
Right.
And so this would be a support to them. There
mm-hmm.
are specific numbers for veterans, mothers who have just lost infants.
Sure.
It's a nice little poem in there. I'm not
mm-hmm.
much of a writer, but just a few words that came, and really just a space that I hope to create this welcoming and sort of space atmosphere where it's, again, semi-private because those panels kind of create this enclosure.
The safe space we were just talking about, right? So
yes.
You clearly you're in a public space, but now
right.
you stepped within almost kind of the phone
even.
Booth.
Yes, it's separate even. It's open enough and easy enough off of a path that you can get a wheelchair in there. My hope was that it can be sort of accessible to, you know, different sizes
mm-hmm.
and contraptions that might need to be used. And I was thinking of, you know, people with strollers and
right.
all kinds of things,
right?
Right? I added a bench in there for, you know, people who might need to take a seat mm-hmm. while this is happening. The
sure.
bench itself is a separate art piece. It's actually titled Forget Me Not. And
fitting.
Very, very significant to me. So a lot of these wind phones are dedicated to specific members of family that the person creating it has lost.
Okay.
I actually wanted to dedicate it to the entire community, for everyone that has been lost.
Yeah, so in the community in this case, clearly we're talking here in Franklin, but this first one is
right.
in Natick.
It is in Natick, and so the Natick support for it has been amazing. The spiritual center made sure that they were so welcoming of this idea, and they supported all of the supplies and things that were needed. The community helped to fundraise, or I did fundraising with them through a community GoFundMe, and a lot of the other, I would say, faith communities and just families in mm-hmm. the community, other businesses
right.
supported it.
Sure.
And wanted that to, you know, come into fruition. It's a great idea. We love the idea of normalizing the conversation around grief. There's no time stamp, right?
And it's to the extent that it is universal. If it hasn't happened to somebody, some family, it will. It's just a matter of numbers and days and times
and
it's going to happen. And
right.
it's not something you plan for in most cases. It just happens.
And like I said, there's no time stamp to grief, right? You can be suffering a loss for years,
mm-hmm.
or you could come to a point where you are just kind of sort of okay, and there's just not that it gets any, I don't know, it doesn't get any less of pain. It gets
yeah.
more tolerable, right?
We learn
how to adjust.
To live with
sort
it.
Sort of. Right?
To live with it, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
After my father passed, it was one thing where, while he was still alive, you know, it was always like, I'll call.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, this is going on, whatever, check in, how are you doing, et cetera. And then once he's gone, I would still have those moments where I need to tell Dad.
Well, but you dial now, even, right? I still have my mom's number.
I'd want to, sure. Yeah.
Still have my mom's number in my phone, and I can't bring myself to erase it. She's been gone for almost 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would say some days are easier than others.
Right.
And then there are those things that remind you. The wind phone has very specific tokens in them, I would say. Tokens that we use to kind of identify our connection to that spiritual other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a specific butterfly or a dragonfly that reminds me, oh, you know, for most people, it's the red cardinal. Oh, when
oh,
I see the
okay.
red cardinal, it's someone who is visited from the other side that's coming with a, you know, a hello message
mm-hmm.
or something, right?
Sure.
For me,
some
it was,
sign.
For my mom, it was specifically a hummingbird because I felt that she never stayed in any one place for too long.
She was
flitting
always here and there.
Always on the move. She was always busy. She was always just everywhere into the, and you know, kind of I look at myself sometimes and I'm like, oh gosh,
like
I probably
mother.
Should sit down some more.
I should become take more your time. Mother.
Oh my gosh. I should sit down some more. What am I doing here? And yeah, so there are a couple of hummingbirds in there, and there are tokens all throughout this dogwood tree, which is symbolic for, you know, a tree of remembrance.
Sure.
I talked a little bit about the forget-me-not bench. It's covered with forget-me-nots. And so I lost my mom, my grandmother, and my brother all in a very short span of time. So
mm-hmm.
I would say maybe like a year. For me, that's really
okay.
short.
Yeah, no, that's short. I lost my mother and grandmother on, it was her mother. One mother passed in November, just after Thanksgiving. Meme passed in Christmas. So it was just in the two seasons.
Yeah.
Go on.
Incredibly.
Yep.
I'm sorry for that loss.
Well, it's been years ago, but,
yeah,
you
still,
know, it's still.
Pain is relevant, right? It
yep.
It stays. It gets maybe duller sometimes or reshapes into something else.
They're watching over us.
I want to believe that. You know, I dream with my mom and my grandmother and my brother even, and I feel like it's usually during times where, you know, the anniversary is coming up or something very specific in my life is
significant
happening.
Significant dates that triggers, get associated with.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. In a lot of ways, I think that's our own mind and hearts finding a way to heal. And the Wind Phone is about that. It's about bringing healing and helping people start that conversation, either with themselves or with other people. You know, the hope is that people feel comfortable enough to go into this space and and have these quote-unquote conversations where, you know, they can have some sense of normalcy until they are able to sort of start to process you know, that loss, and, you know, maybe I am okay with going to talk to somebody. Here's a contact number list people I can reach, maybe.
It's one of those tough topics. Clearly, we don't talk about it on a regular basis, if ever. But it's something that, as I think it, and I haven't been there yet, I clearly want to go. But I think it's something that it gives you at least a chance to practice how you would say something, right, in a safe space.
Sure.
In order, because some things don't become real until you talk them out. A lot of times people have to commit to something. Well, they'll commit to something in a big ceremony, like at a wedding, et cetera. They'll commit to something. I'm going to, you know, go on a diet. And by telling everybody you're going on a diet, you're now committed to it, right? So if you haven't had those verbal confirmations, it's kind of hard to talk about it. But this creates that safe space so that you can at least, for yourself and the individual, start that conversation, and then you'll be able to talk to others about it. Is that kind of my understanding of what's you're attempting to get at?
Right. So creating that sense of normalcy is about identifying that, you know what, I need to take this minute. And you know, some of us might think it's really silly. You know, there's this phone. It's not connected to anything. I'm going to go out and play phone like a kid would.
Right.
Right? And you think, oh, that's silly. I'm not going to go and sit and pick up the phone. Well, maybe don't pick up the phone. Go to the space and sit and see how you feel.
Right.
I would encourage it because I feel like a lot of us are navigating our movements, our thoughts, our processes by what we think society agrees with.
Oh, right.
And, oh, it's going to be weird. People are going to look at me.
I'm going to look strange. I'm going to look odd.
Right.
You know?
Right, but who cares? Right? I think the more people that know what it is and know what's going on are more encouraged to then say, you know what, brave you for doing that. I'm going to give that a shot because maybe it'll work for me.
Yeah.
This place is actually a peaceful and really beautiful place. There's a flowering tree right over it. There's solar lights, so it does light up at night if you're feeling, you know, you want less eyes on you, if you think that there are going to be many eyes on you.
Or you just happen to be driving by and
it's across the street from
calls you.
Oh, it's the center of town. There's a gazebo there, a beautiful little park you can walk around. It's a perfect location.
Yep.
And I really feel that the public is excited about it because it is a way to talk about it and be okay with it. I think going into the space that people might initially feel that reluctant, you know, maybe I don't want to, you know, go again, please go sit at least in the space and see how you feel. And you might find yourself feeling more encouraged to just, you know, think at that moment, you know what, maybe it seems silly, but maybe this is my conversation to have with, and you might feel strong enough to lift up the phone. I actually was at the location expressing to a group who was there for the soft opening to kind of explain to this group what this is. And as I am explaining it to them, I'm like, no, I'm not going to pick up this phone, right? And I feel compelled to absolutely pick up that phone.
To model.
Just to show them that in that moment, I was actually having a short conversation with my mom, right? That you would feel like, you know what, maybe this is the moment. And then you feel pushed to do that. But that in itself is the start of your healing and your processing.
Sure.
I have a 6-year-old at home, and she brought me her And maybe that's where this idea sort of seeded once I ran into what a wind phone was. And I thought, oh my God, it's been presenting itself several times now.
Right.
And so I would say sometime last year before the idea of a wind phone even came about, my then 5-year-old comes to me, she's playing, you know, with her little phone, and she says, oh, Mom, your mom wants to talk to you.
Ooh.
Right?
Inviting you into the conversation.
That she is having on her play phone. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy, right?
The power of kids. Their imagination.
Steve, it took me like 2 seconds to really pause. Huh? What? And then, you know, I respond, well, okay, let me talk to her. And then I take this phone, and it's kind of funny. I'm play phone, you know, playing phone with my daughter on this phone call. Just about what's happening for the day.
Sure.
And telling her about her granddaughter, who my daughter is so happy to hear. She goes on about her day, grabs the phone, and walks off with it. End of story, right?
Sort of.
But in that moment, I thought how strange that she just came over and said my mother, who she had never met, was on this call.
Isn't that...
And then, like, 2 or 3 months later, I run into, like, a short snippet video while I'm online of a wind phone.
Sure.
And it's just, like, a phone in the middle of the woods.
Right.
And then kind of briefly explains what a wind phone is. Right. Well, of course, now I'm curious. Yeah. What is this?
Now you're going deep diving.
And then I find that there are so many ways to do this. And I'm like, well, I want to do that. I want to bring that to my community, and I want to do it bigger. I want everyone to be able to go. I want it to be dedicated to the whole community. I want everyone to be able to have this conversation and not be weirded out by it. So here we are. I hope to get one in Franklin.
Yes, that would be nice. And we understand things take time.
Yes. I think when we last talked, we had started off with the idea that we had gotten like a pre-approval to have one done in Franklin. And then there was kind of a pause on that.
Okay.
And so while that's being assessed or sorted, or I have no idea, we'll find out.
Whatever.
Right. Yep. Until that
maybe
evolves.
People will hear now, they'll just, hey, Amy, how can I help? What else do we need? And then the conversation will start.
That's my hope. My hope is that people are open to it, you know, because my art is centered around, you know, bringing awareness and talking about things that are normally difficult conversations or topics that might get glossed over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my hope is that people will understand that this is more than just an art installation. It's an art installation married with a healing tool, and that they might actually see a need for it in our community as well. It's great that it's in Natick. I love that it's close enough. People here can get to it if they want to.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a drive away. If you had one right in town, would you rather do the 5-minute drive?
Or,
you know, and why not have something of our own here as well?
Yeah.
But I love the idea of having these close and local. And I hope that we can see more of them.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that...
Well, and for parents or grandparents, I have a kid's phone very similar. It's come back from my daughter's days, and the grandkids come over, and we could still use that to pick up the phone and say,
yeah, of course. You know what? It's a symbolism, but it's the action of doing something, right? The action of completion, the action
more than just the talk. It's the action.
Right.
Right.
That makes it part of the normal processing that we have, just completing the action, even if it's not an actual conversation that's connected to a line, even if you're hearing nothing on the other end, like the idea is, this is the message I want to send to you. And I
didn't get a chance to tell you, or you need to know this is happening, or whatever.
Right. And it's just our way of kind of weeding through those feelings and those emotions and kind of breaking down some of the things that we never thought about. You know, we fight battles every day that are not just, you know, today's problems. We're fighting, you know, things that have happened in our past, that have happened in our childhood that we didn't process back then, right?
Well, and that's where, and I think, because I've had a similar experience where, you know, you see something, it's like, oh, that was interesting, but, and you go on. And then it happens again, and you pay a little bit more interest to it. By the time it hits me the third time, I decide I need to do something with that. And it sounds like...
That's what happened with the WinFo. That's exactly what happened with the WinFo. And it's interesting because I didn't actually realize that until I'm talking to you right at this moment, right? That we don't always pay attention to all of the signs. We don't always pay attention to, you know, the universe presenting whatever higher power you believe in, right? Presenting things to you. But if you pay attention, things align.
Well, and especially today when media and all of the information is out there, it can be overwhelming. And our body and all its sensory receptors, and we've got, what, six? Sensory receptors. I mean, we have to pick and choose what we're going to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And sometimes that really matters, and sometimes, you know, it matters a little bit. But when it really matters, then that's where kind of the focus leads to action and leads to accomplishments.
Oh, of course. You know, sometimes a lot of people meditate for that quiet space and that quiet time. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about having those spaces offered to you, having more of those spaces, you know, where you can just go and sit. Maybe the wind phone being with this bench in this sort of semi-quiet space can be that for some people, where they're processing this pain and they're trying to figure out how, or maybe they don't know that they're needing to process it, right? Well, I lost this other relative however many years ago, and I don't think it's a big deal, or, you know, something that you may think might not impact you as much. And then you sit in this space and you realize, yeah, there was more to that that I really didn't know I was holding there.
Right.
You know, this flash of memories that you didn't realize or remember at the moment.
Right.
You're trekking through every day and, you know, these things that you don't know are kind of tucked away in this little pocket of your mind.
No, the stream of life is so full and rapid. If you stop, then to a certain extent, you're getting, quote, left behind. Will you ever catch up? No. When you continue, you're on a new path based upon whatever has just rehappened, reframed to go forward.
A constant redirection. And I feel like that's most of life, right? I am a person who believes that I know my purpose in life, right? Mm-hmm. I've always been directed down the path for healing others.
Right. So it's not necessarily always a straight line. It's a direction, kind of within
absolutely
a cone,
not
within an angle. But
absolutely.
There's weaves and turns.
It's a spider web, you know, and ultimately to make this wonderful tapestry of some sort. But I feel like that is the general concept for me, which is to heal other people, and doing it through art or medicine or natural remedies or through, it's always been this one thing, and I think most people have that. And then sometimes you don't realize that you're going down all these paths and there's a common
thread
in
theme
there.
To
exactly.
It.
And so that's just it. It's more of the signs, right? And more of the paying attention to what's there and what's underneath.
Right. Having read some biographies, because that's one of the themes of books that I like to read, is find out how other people have written about their own life and learnings. Yeah, it's kind of like you're frustrated, you're hitting your head against a wall, because you're not realizing that it's been telling you you need to go this way instead of that. And then once you switch, you don't hit your head against the wall anymore, because you're doing what you need to do, because it's more true to you in your understanding of what you is, which is evolving every way.
And it comes with, like, I would say fluctuating periods, right? I mentioned that I know what my purpose is, but there are times where my direction seems to be shifting.
Oh, yeah.
And I question.
Sure.
And I even go back a little bit of that imposter syndrome, right? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing?
Sure.
Like, well, oh, no. Okay. Back on focus.
Yeah.
And yeah, that it takes a lot, right? You are constantly redirecting yourself, and sometimes you are redirected by the things that are happening in your life, mm-hmm. and you know, you reading about other people and how they process that. It's sometimes a lot easier for everyone outside of you to see what's happening.
Sure. You get that additional perspective.
Oh, sure. they can identify things that you haven't even thought of because they're looking at this from a different angle. And sometimes that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the position where you're open and receptive to hearing what other people are also expressing to you,
mm-hmm.
without necessarily internalizing everything, right? Sometimes
right.
people just kind of deflect and they project their own
shields up.
I don't want
any of the negative criticism.
So you,
right.
You have to be able to accept the criticism to be able to grow who
mm-hmm.
you are.
Right.
And then, you know, bringing it back to how this relates to the wind phone is just that it is allowing yourself that opportunity, that perception that comes from outside of you to say, hey, maybe this will be something that could help you. And I think once you sit in a space like that and start to process and then feel like, you know what, maybe I'm in a better place. I've done this a couple of times. I don't feel weirded out by it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is weirded out. In fact, I am surrounded by people that support me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's all right to start talking to somebody else about this.
Right.
You know, maybe it's all right to seek professional help, or maybe you feel okay enough that you don't.
Sure.
Necessarily need to go that far because you've started your process.
At least knowing there is help available. And to your point, I think you mentioned you have resources available in that space
Correct.
Today so yep. that if somebody does need it,
oh yeah,
it's there. Clearly, there are other ways to get that too.
Sure.
You know, the Google, whatever,
but
just
why
asking
make it,
your friend. But
why make it an extra step? It's right here. Take a picture of it. Take it home. Figure
right.
out when you're okay enough to do so, or
right.
if you need it right then, 24-hour hotlines.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the telephone, right? Like, the actual telephone
mm-hmm.
is like this sort of old-school retro style with the rotary on it, and
mm-hmm.
I wanted it to look very classical because I was
absolutely,
oh my gosh! a way to connect our newer generations is, how do you use this thing? And then for our, you know, the more seasoned generations, really just that this seems very familiar.
Sure.
And I can connect to this.
Right. It may still be strange because, oh yeah, we use that. I grew up with that. But then how am I going to use it today? It's not
right.
going to ring anybody.
Well, no, that's it. We've had multiple, so we had a workshop where we did the rock painting and kind of,
mm-hmm.
That was a really soft sort of beginning to, you know, Project Healing with Heart, which is like, all right, I'm going to set out this initiative. I'm going to help heal people's hearts with art. And then I'm going to use art in all these different ways to connect with the community and reach out to people. And so we did this rock painting, and mostly family and a couple of close friends
mm-hmm.
came, and we started the rock painting. And in that was the discussion about what the wind phone was and what the direction
mm-hmm.
was and what the purpose of it was. So
mm-hmm.
lots of discussion about processing. And then I went and attended a few info sessions and spiritual center sessions where, you know, people would meet on a Sunday and sit down and have this Sunday circle meet.
Mm-hmm.
It's very personal. Small, intimate group. I would say maybe 25, if that's intimate.
Okay.
30.
Right.
Well. And, you know, you kind of go around and get to introduce yourself and then just really discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity a few times to discuss these different groups, what the wind phone was, what the purpose was. And it's
mm-hmm.
great because it allows the opportunity for questions to arise. Well, is it
sure.
connected to anything? And what
right.
is the point of that?
Right.
And how do you think that heals someone?
Right.
All great questions. You know, that allowed me the opportunity to answer and provide that.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you are able to provide answers, it communicates a couple of things. Number one, that you know what you're talking about, or that you've researched it at the very least, and your intention. right? Yeah. Everything is intention. Am I intending to bring good or harm with this? Am I intending to just do this for, you know, an opportunity to, I don't know, talk? What is the intention? And, and, you know, allowing yourself the opportunity to be open to the idea is you learning that the intention is a good one. It really is about healing. It really is about bringing people together, and it's about raising awareness. So those were great opportunities. In addition to that, I did a lot of online work.
Research, research.
Not just research, but connecting with the community. So do lots of things on Facebook and TikTok, and I try to stay up to date with all of the new media, but oh my gosh, it is a full-time job.
Kudos to you, because I just as a media producer, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot. All of the platforms, the different groups that are on one but not the other, and so I use some more than others. And I do appreciate some of the advantages that I get in some. So I appreciate that I can do short snippet videos on TikTok, but then I'll save those and I'll upload them to Facebook, because Facebook doesn't have that option. But there are people on Facebook that would see this, that would connect to this, that are not on TikTok. So it's a way for me to be able to cross and on Instagram, and just, you know, all of the things. But again, the way is to connect with the community, and then getting out there, right, and talking to these places. Are you okay, either by phone call or email, and just, are you okay with being listed as a resource? Do you have the capability of taking on these random calls?
Do their hours cover the specifics in terms of...
There's a lot of work that went into it. It certainly was not just, let me put up this painting and attach it to this beautiful garden arbor. It was very thought out. Everything was incredibly intentional. The arbor, like I said, it could have just been a foam tied to a random post. For me, it was, I want to create a beautiful space that's sort of whimsical, right? This cedar garden arbor is sturdy. It'll hold up through the elements, so it'll be there for a little bit. How do we secure it? How do we, you know, there are lots of logistics. So I built it myself, because I like building things. I'm like, I would
You're
love,
a little crafty that way.
I love IKEA.
A little
IKEA.
Bit more than crafty,
Listen,
actually.
I love IKEA, but I've only gone once, because my husband ran out of there. He was like, no way.
Some assembly required.
He was like,
no.
I should have known in the beginning, too, you know?
Well, no.
When we first started dating, we bought like this armoire, because we needed more closet space. It was like our first apartment. We're in New York City. It's a small place. We get an armoire where we could, you know, hang extra clothing. And I remember that it was like 4 hours into the assembly, and he decided, I need a nap. I can't put this thing together. I'm done. So he woke up from his nap, and I had already assembled it. I'm like, all right, now I need you to just be the guy and lift it up, okay?
Put it in where it goes.
Right. But that's it. Like, I loved putting all of myself into that, just being able to build it and stand it up, and then add these artistic elements for kind of, for me, like the finishing touches.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, this looks great.
Well, and I think for the people who haven't perhaps seen yet, but your project with Heart, if I rephrase, Heart emphasizes the art part of heart, right?
Healing with heart.
Healing with heart.
Yes.
It's not project, but healing with heart.
It is a project, though.
Well, it is. There are multiple projects, but the healing part certainly requires the art, and the art is emphasized there, because where do you draw the line?
They're interrelated. They're absolutely.
It's hard to draw the line.
It's so connected. And art is such a fantastic outlet to processing and healing and just being a creative, whether you're writing or painting or being musical or you're dancing. And you're, I mean, there are so many forms of art. And I think it's so special and so important for people to be able to tap into what artistic element is within them to be able to, you know, just pull it out and use it as an outlet, you know?
something they know, they feel comfortable with, they can do easily or learn to do easily.
Oh, sure. And woodworkers who are just like, oh, I'm just working with, no, that is an art. Yeah, there's a craftsmanship that goes into that.
Sure.
There's a lot of detail and specific into that work. There's styles and ways to create that. There's an art to that.
All kinds of choices and choices. The design requires thought.
Oh, 100%. And so when I hear people tell me on a regular basis, oh, I'm not an artist, I'm like, oh, you are. You just don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But today we'll paint and we'll play with that for a little bit and see how you feel about it.
Right. So that gives us a segue. You do painting
yeah.
workshops on a fairly regular basis.
Yes. And I do have paint sessions. So I do paint party sessions with seniors at different senior centers I travel to. I have paint parties that I do for, you know, just team building for work, mm-hmm. for birthday parties. I do lots of different things with my art.
Mm-hmm.
Do commissions and town murals and
window spaces.
I feel
if
like
people haven't noticed window spaces getting painted with all kinds of, I think the Bamboo House has kind of jungle
Peace Emporium,
yeah. food pantry.
I love doing work
in
the food pantry.
I may have missed a few others.
No, so I just find all the different ways to express mm-hmm. art and color. I do feel like it adds value, brightens the space, it brings joy. People are so happy just seeing it go up. For a lot of people, it's watching the process in live
sure.
while it happens.
Yeah.
I've done stuff at Camford Properties. I've done a couple things, but they've been so gracious and so kind to offer the space.
Including the cow got redesigned.
Oh, sure. Sure, the cow got redesigned. Very exciting. I love just going over there and seeing the brightness of the colors, especially in the summertime. Actually, due this week, I'll be going by and check on the integrity and make sure that
sure.
it's still holding up well.
Right.
Over at the Sculpture Park, I've done the tables. One of them is looking pretty scrappy, though. I got to get back over there.
I was by there just recently, and it was like, wait a minute, what happened to this
one? Well, that one table is like suffering and has been suffering from the beginning.
Yeah, so
but
as much as you tried to...
No, I offered to paint it anyway because I'm like, well, it needs something. But definitely should get back over there and try to do it again.
It didn't quite extend its life.
No, no. And you know what? I've been going every year. So this would be my third year painting it over again. Because it needs to be replaced.
Right.
But of course,
the Sculpture Park with the traveling fish.
Yes, the traveling school of fish. The exciting was that last year we got to do Parmenter. And
yes.
This year we did JFK, both closing schools.
Right.
I don't know. I think that by the end of... the life for this rotation of JFK fish, I will then have the collection of Parmenter and JFK. So if there's a place in town where we could display both of those closing schools fish together.
Sure.
I don't know, kind of maybe just putting that idea out there.
Put the wheels to think.
Yeah, that maybe there's a place where these two, because they were closing schools, can be displayed at together would be great. I know that... Jefferson, for their first year, they took their fish, because at the end of the year I give them the fish back so they could give them back to the kids and families.
Okay.
The ones that were unclaimed, because maybe they moved or whatever.
Whatever.
They had these extra fish, and for their arts night, what they did was turn one of their display shelves into an aquarium tank, and
ooh.
They put their fish in there. It was so beautiful. And I thought, how creative.
Yes.
And a great way to display the work of the students.
Sure. Definitely. And then, of course, in anticipation, but we've got new schools opening, so that'll be another opportunity over time
for them
to figure out what they're going to be, because we don't, other than...
The hope is to be able to pull them in.
Right. They're going to create their own community. It's going to take some time, but that may be an action within the community to determine what they're going to want to be.
Yeah.
referred to as?
I think, well, the Jefferson School is now called the Washington Street School. Yeah.
Legally, notification-wise, they need to be Washington, Lincoln, K3, or K2, 3-5. From a communications perspective, legally, and just from a safety perspective, police and fire need to know where they're
going
to go.
Where they're going.
And then that at least is the basis upon which now the students, the teachers, the community can then determine potentially what their own name should be.
How and clearly gonna...
the K2 and 3-5 more than likely will come together because you won't have two separate names within the building, I would think, but that's my speculation. It's going to be up to them to determine that.
Yeah, there's so much to that. And I think because, I mean, it's different and it's in such a small window of time for them.
Right.
I think that that's really going to be a challenge. I think, you know, there's some great people on staff. I know Evan Chelman and Stephanie Wasik, at least I've been receiving communications from them, have been kind of really on it with this is the new process and we're moving forward.
Yeah.
And they've done great communicating, I think, sort of the direction and where they're going. So at least it feels from the parent perspective that they've kind of got a handle on this, and it seems like it might be okay.
Things are developing in the
It'll fall into place, I'm sure.
There are continued developments along that line, and even on a separate piece when I talked with Miss O'Leary and Miss Callie around the reading program for the summer, the concept of meet me in the middle for the middle school with the three schools coming together. The concept made so much sense.
Yeah.
Meet me in the middle.
In the middle for middle school.
Perfect.
And so I think we have some pretty competent people that are going to make sure it falls into place. And kudos to them because it's a huge undertaking.
Fall into place with soft landings.
Because that's a way to put it.
As we've talked, there are, you know, it evolves. It's not going to be perfect right out of the gate, but it'll evolve and it'll be done planfully and thoughtfully and carefully.
Absolutely. Let's see, what else? I have a mural that I just finished last week for Hopkinton. They have a great wall of diversity at their EMC Square entrance to the park.
Oh, okay.
So I got the joy of being able to paint one of their murals this year to add on to that.
Okay.
It's really beautiful.
We'll set that up for a road trip. We'll have to go visit that.
You should. You should. And it's great. Just really, really excited. I have a solo exhibit coming up in September, Theater Center for the Arts in Natick.
TCAN.
TCAN. I've been there a couple of times, and they're so gracious and really a wonderful crowd of people that just support the arts.
Sure.
So I'm excited to be able to go and display 430. Also because they have those really great big walls.
Yeah, that helps.
And I like painting bigger pieces, so it's a lot easier.
You're not a miniaturist.
I'm not. I don't
like the big, full colors.
I don't like
colors.
Doing stuff small. You know, even when I do my paint sessions, I feel like it's funny because I'm painting and as I'm sort of teaching the class and guiding the class through, I'm painting upside down as I'm walking, and so people always just, how do you
take practice?
I don't know. It's not going to look exactly like the starting point, but I want you to know that this is the gist of how you need to get it on your canvas. And the most important part of those sessions for me is making sure that we're building community during those sessions, right? People are laughing, we're talking, we're getting to know one another. And in that, we're also having a little fun. We're painting. Yeah. We're not just, you know, going to have the worst painting. I want to make sure each person is kind of happy with where they arrived to their work. And, you know, if not, they can always, you know, sign the person next to their names and pass it down at the end of the
take it home and redo it.
Or, you know, do what I would do is take it home and then just find a random family member to mail it to. And then they're just confused about this not so interesting piece of art that they've gotten. But no, really, I think that art heals. And if we allow it, that it could really fix so much that we try to unpack and work through. So
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good place probably to wrap, because it sounds like you've kind of run through your list of the projects, but it allows us to go back and tie to create the space and allow the healing to happen with some art inspiration.
With some art inspiration.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. So 100%. Pick up a phone.
Make a call.
And make a call.
Make a call.
Talk to somebody. Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to me and to us, because hopefully people will listen to this as well.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity just to be able to share about this project and its importance and its goal and the mission that it has.
It's perfect.
Thank you.
And we do this, of course, because this matters. Franklin matters.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.